B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Take ball like Patrick Beverly say.
Google me.
I'll hit an old man in public.
Oh my God.
That's a big time stuff, bro.
Who is it?
Having the time of his life.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Excuse me.
Correct.
What do you think this is? Just some bozo sports radio show?
Maybe it is. Everybody, good morning. Jason Martinez, Anthony off again today. We're here with you from 10 to 2. Pat will be alongside again as well. Pat Egan, that is. It's Jason Martinez. A ton to get into today as the crazy world of sports. You remember the opening to the show, Days of Our Lives? Like sands to the hourglass. These are the days of our lives. Well, the sands to the hourglass have been like kind of dripping through that hourglass slower and slower as we anticipate the return of sports. Just 2 weeks from today, though, we'll get Phillies baseball back. A couple weeks, we'll get the Flyers and the Sixers back. It's a day of celebration for you hockey fans because today by 6 o'clock, we'll probably have ratification of the return to play protocols and also a new collective bargaining agreement, which ensures labor certainty for the next 6 years, which is always a great thing in sports. Labor certainty in Major League Baseball is going to be up for grabs once again, coming up once this new the current CBA expires after next season. But a lot to get into today, and look, as has been the case through the pause in sports, which has now been 120 long agonizing days. You know, the off the field stuff has kind of carried the mail here, and what we talk about, and because we're not reacting to any games other than the fact that we reacted to that 1-0 win over NYCFC yesterday for the Philadelphia Union, which was great to see on a Bedoya goal. But there's still a lot of things to talk about because in our crazy world that we live in right now, you know, social justice issues are being spoken about by the masses of players in sports and figures in sports. And we heard about the movie that Jeff Lurie's production company is going to be releasing. How about the timing of that, considering what has just gone on with DeSean Jackson? I mean, that's the timing that he's got a movie based on Hitler coming out at the time when this whole thing is kind of going down after DeSean Jackson posted an Instagram story citing a quote he thought was attributed to Hitler is just, maybe that's just irony. I don't know. But then you have other players now coming to DeSean Jackson's defense. Guys like Malik Jackson, who we talked about yesterday. Malik Jackson was railing on the NFL for not guaranteeing the money. And he's upset with how they're going to handle training camps and those kind of things. There's still a lot of work to be done in the NFL to get that on the field. And we'll see if that does happen. Coaches are supposed to report, I guess, around today to start getting tested and quarantined all in advance of rookies reporting in 2 weeks and the full squad reporting at the end of the month, around the 28th. So football's around the corner. We see now that we know that college football or college athletics, I should say, in the Ivy League have decided to say not this fall. And now we see the Big Ten also saying only conference play for this fall. So a lot happening in this world, and I've used the phrase that the list of unknowns is far larger than the list of knowns right now when it comes to our world, our sports, everything else. But there's a couple things in particular I want to get into today, and we're going to talk about what Malik Jackson said in a moment. But this also, the JT Real Muto situation, because as I look at the situation here, and I understand why people are kind of freaked out a little bit. Now, we go all the way back to when John Middleton, way back, I guess a couple years ago now, said he was going to spend stupid money. And that's going to be a quote from him that's I don't know if it's going to haunt him, but it's going to be one that is going to be kind of like his benchmark of accountability. And we know that Matt Klentak came out a week and a half ago, talking about the JT Real Muto situation and said that basically the landscape has changed since extension talks with Real Muto began. And they have, because they started those extension talks while they were in spring training before a pandemic. And we know that so much has changed, not only in our world, for everybody. Everybody listening is affected in some way, shape, or form financially, all kind, just the list is long of the way the pandemic's affected everyone, including Major League Baseball. And, you know, they've kind of, they haven't really talked since then. Major League Baseball had to figure out how to get back on the field. We know how nasty that got, and, you know, players and the guaranteed money that they were going to get this year. Are they going to get full prorated salary? Are they going to, without fans, all of those things. But the quote that Matt Klentak said at the time, the landscape that we left in March is different from the one we returned to now. We just have to see how that manifests itself into our discussions. We still love the player, referring to JT Realmuto. We still love to have him in red pinstripes for the long haul, but there's a lot of uncertainty in the game right now on a variety of levels. We just need to play that out. And we see a tweet from Todd Zielecki saying that they're not close. They haven't really talked. There's a lot to get done here. We know that Bryce Harper is going nuts when he hit the home run and saying, sign him, which I don't think is helpful for the star player to do that publicly, where I guess where everybody knows. And he's been pretty outspoken about his desire to bring JT back. And we all understand why. JT's a good guy. He's a good, really good player. And the Phillies are worth a lot of money. So while the pandemic is hitting the Phillies, I mean, the owner's still worth north of, what, $5 billion, I think it is, Pat? They have money. But I know everybody got up in arms when they saw what Matt Klentak said about the landscape changing, and we got to see what this means and how this changes our way of conducting business. But realize what Matt Klentak said is just negotiation 101. That's a message to JT's agent. Hey, man, everything in baseball has changed. Revenue's not going to be north of $10 billion like it has been in the past. And we love the player. We want to sign him. But the deal we were talking about before, and maybe the numbers we were talking about before, may not be in the cards. Now, you can say to the Phillies, come on, you guys, the revenue's over $10 billion last year. You're going to lose money this year, but is it that bad that you can't all of a sudden now sign, you know, your franchise catcher? We'll see. I'm not nearly as disturbed by the reporting around JT. The only thing I don't like is I just don't like the star player lobbying for it publicly. I just don't think that's a great look because it pits Bryce Harper up against the organization. Now, you can go if you're Bryce Harper, and you're obviously the highest paid player, the most important player. You're the face on the marquee. You can go to manager and say, we got to get this done. We got to get this guy here. Don't think that players don't do that in pro sports, because they do. But I just don't love him coming out publicly and saying, I know as fans, we love that because we agree with Bryce Harper. I just don't think it's the smartest way to conduct business. But then again, that brings me to kind of the overall conversation today. I wanted to mention that yesterday, but today I'm able to talk about it. And it kind of ties right in with Deshaun, right in with Malik Jackson, right in with Marquise Goodwin, and people that have come out in support of Deshaun Jackson in this situation. I understand supporting your teammate is one thing. But, I mean, some of the things that Malik Jackson had to say in regards to supporting Deshaun Jackson, I thought were, frankly, uneducated. He called Louis Farrakhan the Honorable Farrakhan, and he's nothing like the vile scum Hitler. He said he speaks the truth and believes in protection of self, and that scares your racist ass. Second, DJAC did not quote anyone. He took a picture of a book that was to invoke thought and conversation. Well, Deshaun didn't explain it that way, number one. And Malik Jackson, he's lashed out on a fan who, to defend Louis Farrakhan as honorable. Now, look, I don't know everything about Louis Farrakhan. I did some research because it's real easy to do that nowadays on social, on Google. And I know he's been called anti-Semitic. So I wanted to look. I wanted to dig kind of deep and go, where is the basis for all of this? And I find tons of quotes from Louis Farrakhan in recent speeches in the last couple of years, calling Jews Satan. To my Jewish friends, I shouldn't use the word friends so lightly. You have been a great and master deceiver, but God is going to pull the covers off of all of you. I mean, and I could go on and on and on. I could fill an hour with anti-Semitic quotes from, as Malik Jackson called him, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. Now, look, I don't expect all of the athletes in our town, all the athletes in sports, to have history degrees or political science degrees and to know the depth of what a man really is. But before you come out and call a guy like Louis Farrakhan the honorable, just Google it. Do a little work. Because now, and look, again, I understand that teammates want to defend their teammate and say he didn't mean this or he didn't mean that. He didn't quote that person. He took a picture. Well, when you take a picture and you put it on your Instagram story, that's the modern day version of quoting someone. Sorry. It just is, Malik. And while I like you as a player, I'm really disappointed in the way he came out and defended his teammate. And this all goes back to the age-old notion of shut up and play. A lot of people say that about athletes. A lot of people say, hey, I don't come to you for political commentary. I don't come to you to tell me what's right and what's wrong. I come to you to watch you entertain me, play sports, take me away from that stuff. And that's an old way of thinking, because in our world right now with social injustice, athletes are speaking out. They should speak out. They have a platform. If it can raise awareness, then that's great. But sometimes we're going to hear things we don't like. Like, I didn't like what Malik Jackson said. I didn't like what DeSean Jackson posted. I have a major problem with it. I think there should be consequences for it. But this notion, and there's a lot of people that will bring it up now, and there's other people that will say, no, athletes should be speaking out. Should our athletes be speaking out? And when you see what Malik Jackson said and what DeSean Jackson did, does that make you kind of change your mind and say, you know what, maybe they should just get off social media. Maybe they should not speak on things that like this that are so divisive. And what DeSean Jackson did was he spread hate. And what Malik Jackson did in defending him was, in essence to me, spreading more hate. Calling a guy like Louis Farrakhan honorable. So I see all this, and like, I've said this before on the air. I've said, we always say our athletes never say anything. Because they say, I got to work harder. We got to take care of business one game at a time, one play at a time. Get pucks deep. We got each possession matter, all those things, right? You know, the sports quotes that are just chalk. And then when they actually do say something of substance that's not, we got to work hard or we got to take it one game at a time. We criticize them. But is that criticism valid? Do you want these athletes to be having these conversations? It's a really interesting question to me. Because, well, a few years ago, when the whole Colin Kaepernick thing began and the kneeling, it was obviously very divisive. And I said this on the air, that I didn't want Colin Kaepernick to kneel because I didn't want to mix politics or social issues with sports. Now, clearly the problem hasn't been fixed. The problem is probably maybe even worse now than it's ever been. I think we have some pretty good evidence to that matter. So I'm good with athletes speaking out. And like I said, maybe a week and a half ago on the show, that I was wrong about Colin Kaepernick kneeling and my desire for him and that not to happen. But sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. Because in this situation, the athletes that are speaking sometimes are coming off as ignorant. To me, DeSean Jackson came off as incredibly ignorant with what he posted. Incredibly ignorant. Now, I don't know how you can be ignorant to the level to think it's okay to post anything attributed to Adolf Hitler. I don't know how Malik Jackson can put out a post defending DeSean and call Farrakhan honorable when you see the anti-Semitic quotes in droves. If we want equality, it applies across the board. Now, I'm also not too naive to think that it's easy for me as a white man to say equality needs to be across the board. I haven't been profiled as a black man because I'm not black. I don't know what that feels like. I have no clue. I've never been pulled over while driving black. It's never happened to me. And if I were to sit here on this radio station right now and say, hey, I understand what you're going through. I've understood what you've gone through. That would be the most disingenuous thing I could ever say because I have no clue. I'm a white kid that grew up in the suburbs. And so I don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I do know. But what I do know is that what DeSean Jackson did was wrong. And it was ignorant. And what I do know is that Malik Jackson calling Louis Farrakhan honorable is disgusting. When you look at the quotes attributed to the supposed honorable Louis Farrakhan. In our world right now, to go on the internet and get factual information. Now, just because it's on the internet, it's not always true. I agree. But you can go on and you can find quotes. You can find audio. You can do your homework now. You don't have to rush to defend someone and just make a blind defense. It needs to be educated. And again, what DeSean did was ignorant. What Malik Jackson did in defending Louis Farrakhan is ignorant, in my opinion. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. Look, I want to move this conversation forward. DeSean apologized a couple of times. He liked to post yesterday. I don't like the fact that he liked to post about why the black man doesn't need to apologize for the things he says. I didn't like that. Some people think that wasn't that big of a deal. I don't agree. I can only tell you how I reacted when I saw that. To me, that made his apology null and void. But the thing is, sports are going to come back. Sports are not that far from returning. The Eagles are going to be in training camp in a couple weeks. And this is going to be something that's talked about, questioned, and all of those things when it starts. And a really kind of broad-based question here in our world where George Floyd was killed and all the protests and everything that happened. And let's not act like George Floyd was the first black man to be killed, murdered, I should say. You know, how is it going to affect your ability to watch sports? Is it going to affect sports? Because as we saw in the MLS game, they had names on the back of their jerseys of people killed and murdered in with social injustice. There's going to be more players kneeling. There's going to be players with all kinds of different ways of expressing their support for social injustice. And that change needs to happen. What does that do to that 3-hour window for you of watching sports? Does it have an effect? Do you just say, this is the world we live in today. I understand it because I'm educated and that it is a major problem. And if these players speaking out and having signs or ways to display that social injustice is still rampant in this country, I understand it. And hey, that's the world we live in right now. And if that helps force change, force conversations, then I'm good with it. We'd all rather it not be there by proxy of it's not happening. But it is still happening. And what DeSean Jackson did was not help fix the problem. He created another problem, a subset. He tried to mitigate hate with more hate through ignorance. And what Malik Jackson did in trying to defend a teammate and by calling Louis Farrakhan honorable was also breed more hate. So, like, let's fix the problem, but by not adding to it. And as I said before, this is not a tit-for-tat thing. My people had it worse than yours. You could do that for days. But I just wonder how all of this is going to affect the enjoyment of professional sports, which, again, we have not had for 120 days. Now, we haven't had it because of a pandemic, and these are very unique circumstances, but sports are on the horizon. At least a lot of us believe that. Whether they start is a question. Whether they finish is probably a bigger question. We shall see. But how is this all going to affect your consumption of sports now that it has returned? Coupled with the fact that you haven't had it for 120 days. A lot of us before the pandemic thought we could never live without sports because it plays such a big part of our lives, our conversations, our emotional investment, financial investment. Sports has encapsulated our minds, our hearts, our fandom, all of those things. You haven't had it for 120 days and you couldn't fathom that before. Now you've had to go through that. Is that part of the equation on how you move forward as a sports fan now, coupled with the fact that you're going to have a lot of social injustice, protests, and awareness being created through sports? So, Pat, let me ask you. First of all, you saw what Malik Jackson had posted.
I did.
And you're a guy, you bone up. You do your research. When you see, he says, he's not Hitler. And he's right, he's not Hitler. But to call Louis Farrakhan honorable, how did that kind of hit you in the gut right away?
Ignorant. Very ignorant.
That's the word, right?
Yeah, and I think the term ignorant, some people think it means rude. Like when I was growing up, you used ignorant as you're being rude. No, it's you're uninformed.
That exactly,
and that's what he came off as. Yeah. He came off as uninformed.
Yeah, an ignorant comment is one that it is not based on knowledge of the known. And what Malik Jackson did in calling Louis Farrakhan honorable is ignorant. 610-632-0975. We got bro code to get back to today as well. We'll tell you what that's all about coming up. Stay tuned. That was Pat Egan. I'm Jason Martinez. Anthony is off today on, we're going to call it a Football Friday. Football Friday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Back after this.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Zach Berman's going to join us from The Athletic coming up at 12:30. We'll get his thoughts on everything Eagles, not just the DeSean Jackson situation. There's other things at hand as coaches are set to report, get their testing done, and quarantine period before rookies arrive later this month, and then eventually the whole team at the very end of the month of July in training camp 2020. In some kind of much different form will be underway. Has it been determined that they're going to play no preseason games at this point, Pat? Is that done?
I don't think it's done. I think the NFL Players Association really wants it, and the owners haven't really given them an answer yet.
Okay. It could happen, obviously, and teams traveling with an even bigger staff. I mean, when preseason, you travel a lot of people. Now, it would only be one game. You'd have one road and one home, but still, that's risk. And one person coming down and bringing that into the locker room obviously could have huge effects on numbers. 610-632-0975. So we'll talk to Zach coming up at 12:30 on Everything Eagles. And your calls at 610-632-0975. Let's get right to the phones today. Real quick, before we get to the phones, we did this yesterday a little bit, the bro code. And I got a ton more that I want to throw by callers today. So I'll give you a bro code and you tell me if it's still applicable. Like one we did yesterday was bros do not share dessert when they go out for a meal. A bro never dances with their hands above their head.
I got one guy who inboxed me just ripping. He must have been a true bro who takes his codes very seriously because he was not happy.
He may have
not
been,
happy with my takes.
He I think he may have been the president of the bro club.
He was. Yeah, he just got a whole new tank top today.
So I guess he never applies sunscreen to another bro, which is another bro code. A bro never applies sunscreen to another bro.
No.
Like on the beach, like, turn around, I'll get your back. Or put that like that white stuff on your nose like the old lifeguards used to wear, right?
Yeah, some of these are ridiculous. Like we did a couple totally yesterday. Agree. And some of them you go, ah, all right, you know, I can see that.
Yeah, that's still applicable. Some of them I just can't even read because they're not fit for air. But we'll get to those as well throughout the program as well. So let's start out on the phones. Let's head to the Northeast, and we start with Dan on the Fanatic. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jay. What's going on, you?
How you doing?
The bro code. I know Harry's your bro and all. So it had me laughing in my head, imagining you and Harry, like, sharing some ice cream at a restaurant or something. It just sounds so absurd, though.
Like splitting a milkshake and getting two. I'd like a black and white milkshake. Can we get two straws?
Yeah, you know you'd be sipping the wrong way. He'd be getting pissed off about it.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So, we've discussed that my feelings on I think sports is returning too early. But that's a moot point because, honestly, I'm a peon, and it doesn't matter what I think if it's returning too early or whatever. So my question is the interest level. When it comes back, I'm 100% going to watch baseball. I'm going to watch football, basketball. I'm going to watch it all. I don't know how invested I'll be, although it is a distraction, and I do need a getaway right now. If the climate of 2020, and we saw the pandemic, and you got ridiculous stories like this coming out every day, I don't know how invested I can be in the sport. Jay, the best way I can put it, even as I'm watching the sport or right now with no sports, I feel like I'm in a fog. I just feel like I'm walking in a dense fog, and like it's an overwhelming amount of thoughts from the social injustice issues to the issues with the pandemic. Then you're seeing issues with LGBTQ,
LGBTQ, yeah.
Yes. And it's just like, you want to hear everybody's side because there are many issues. But when you take that in that many issues at once, it starts to eat at you and you're feeling the weight of it. And I'm not saying I don't feel guilt or I guess it's more you feel more empathetic. You have more empathy and you want to do something. And so it kind of like plays against the whole sports thing because
that's an escape.
Yeah. But how much is it an escape as if at the end of the game, you know that you're reverting right back to this chaos.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I want us to handle it. I'm with you, Jay. I want sports back. And like I said, if they come back too early, not too early, I am going to consume it. But I don't want us all to lose what's going on in the world. And especially, you know me, the global warming issue is my biggest concern. Mm-hmm. They say by 2038, I mean, scientists agree globally, by 2038, it'll be so warm that sustainable crops can't grow. Now, trends in this can reverse, but this is one issue that is not even really discussed. So there's a plethora of issues that we need to get through. And if we can do that while having sports, I'm all for it. But if we can't, we don't deserve sports. We don't. We have to work on making this better.
Let me ask you this.
I don't want to feel like this every day.
Yeah, let me ask you this, too, because maybe this plays a part in the equation for you. I just want to ask the question. Fact that, you know, these sports are coming back after what's now been 120 days, you know, and look, NBA and NHL, they did play 85% of their season. But these are very unique circumstances. No fans, no home court, no home ice. Or in baseball, it's only a 60-game season. Or in the NFL, it could be played with no fans. Is there a lack of legitimacy to what these sports are going to be when they come back?
For me, no, personally, just because of the circumstances surrounding it. But it's when I get deterred, I think of my mindset in the climate. And then I take myself outside my body, and I think if I was a player in any of these sports, I would still have the same mindset. So where's my interest going to be when I'm playing that game? If I'm concerned about the pandemic, if I'm concerned about social injustice, if I'm as crazy as me and concerned about global warming.
And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Great call. You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, the outrage after a loss. Like, if the Eagles lose to the Cowboys, is that, you know, we get crazy about that as sports fans, but right now, we've gained a lot of perspective on what outrage really means, right? The outrage of losing over the Cowboys pales in comparison to the outrage of the George Floyd murder. You know what I mean? It's trivial because it is a game. But as fans, it affects our mood multiple days. So all of a sudden, it is that investment of winning and losing in sports, you know, kind of damped down a little bit because of the perspective of real world problems over sports fandom problems. It's something that I wonder if that'll affect people as well. Reality has hit us in the face, and losing to the Cowboys, while it sucks, isn't catastrophic in the grand scheme of life. Let's go to Harry in Philly on the Fanatic. What's going on, Harry?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Happy Friday.
You as well.
Thanks. So, look, I'm just calling to offer some perspective.
Okay.
You know, the black community, so DeSean Jackson, I feel like we view it differently than others at times. The same way, you know, a lot of white people view Farrakhan, a lot of black people view President Trump, like, as divisive, as, you know, full of hate and things like that. So I feel like that needs to be taken into perspective. And as far as, you know, you're standing pretty bold on Louis Farrakhan being unhonorable because you said you dislike Jenkins saying that he was honorable. Now, I would tell you to maybe research him because honorable. Okay, did you know that he started, like, he created the Million Man March, which started thousands, hundreds of thousands of black men on the road to self-empowerment. Yes, he has said things, and I'm not defending him in any way. I'm not picking his side, but I'm just giving you perspective. You know, he's a classic violinist. Did you know that? Like, he's done a lot of things that people could look at as honorable, the same way Donald Trump is looked at as honorable because of the things that he has done. He's president. You feel me? So I just want you to understand that.
Yeah, yeah. I did a bunch of research on Louis Farrakhan because, like I said.
What did you find out?
Well, look, there are things that he has done to bring people together and help the African-American community. Absolutely.
Okay.
But when part of your resume also is the spewing of anti-Semitic hate.
Yes,
I can't overlook that part. You know what I mean? It's like somebody that does everything right, but then, you know, abuses kids or something like that. Like,
yeah. So do you keep that same energy? Do you feel the same way about Donald Trump? Like, is he honorable? Would you say he's unhonorable?
Look, I
don't want you to answer the question. I don't, because I know you can't. But I'm just saying, understand that. Just another thing. Hitler to the Native American people, I'm partially Native American, is Christopher Columbus. And there's a school in South Philly named after him, several statues. I don't want you to, you know, pick a side with that either. Again, I'm just offering perspective so that you guys...
Yeah, look, there's a lot of bad people here. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah, but when you hear stories of that other side, I would like you to spend a week talking about that as well instead of brushing over it and moving so fast. But
yeah, well, the reason I'm talking about Farrakhan is because a member of the Eagles in defense of DeSean cited him as honorable.
Yeah, did you go as heavy on Riley Cooper?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that dude.
I'm a listener, but he
should have been clipped. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But at the end, he got an extension. So that's a perspective that, you know, two different things. You know, Nick Bosa had racist tweets, and you know that really didn't hit the airwaves as much. You know, so we have to keep the same energy in this time.
You're right, Harry. If we're going to hold people accountable, let's hold them all to the same standard.
Yeah.
And no matter whether that person's white, black, Asian, whatever, everybody needs to be held to the... We're fighting for equality, right? In a world of inequality. Thanks for the call, Harry. So if we're doing that, then let's treat everyone on equal footing. And that's my point. That's why I said yesterday that not punishing DeSean because you didn't punish Riley Cooper is wrong. You made a huge mistake. In my opinion, you made a huge mistake in the way they handled Riley Cooper. They shouldn't have just fined him and put a program in place to make him gain understanding. Look, I believe a lot of times, too, especially with something like what Riley Cooper did, that's something you don't get a class and get that fixed. There's not a medicine to fix that. That is a mindset that... You're not going to go, okay, now I see it from the other side, so I'm never going to utter that word again. To me, that's in him. And if it was in him at that moment, can people change? Yes. But is that still in him? Has that been exorcised from him? I fail to believe that. Now, I'll give a guy the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, you're doing a lot of introspective work on yourself, and you're going to look at all those things, and I hope that you see the light of what you did and why it was so bad. But the fact that that came out of your mouth in the manner that it did, to me, shows it's part of your makeup at that point. Let's go to Steven in Jenkintown is on the Fanatic. Hey, Steven.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
So, first, just because it just happened, I'd like to address my friend Harry. First off, I'll start off by saying I am a black man as well. I'm 21 years old. But my thing with what he said is, okay, great. You know, Farrakhan was a classical violinist, whatever. I'm classically trained in the saxophone. I play baritone saxophone. But if I go out and I spew hatred and I, you know, I'm talking about a certain group of people, that to me discredits anything that you're doing. Like, that doesn't matter to me, okay? There are plenty of black men that are historical figures that have gone about preaching and doing things for people, i.e. Martin Luther King Jr., who did not spew hatred like that. Mm-hmm. It's possible. So it's, to me, him saying that kind of says, like, they can coexist. Those things can coexist, and that kind of condones and gives it a pass. I don't give it a pass.
Yeah, look, if Jeffrey Dahmer, right, was right. a concert pianist, good for Jeffrey Dahmer. He killed right. people and ate them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's call it what it is, exactly. And regarding DeSean Jackson, my thing was when Drew Brees said what he said about the flag, I saw people coming for his head. And as a member of the black community, I disagree with that because, you know, and I'm saying this in comparison with what DeSean was happening with DeSean because I would at least like to see some consistency with, like, I as long as you're consistent, I don't have a problem. So if you had a problem with Drew Brees and you thought he should lose his job then and you believe DeSean should lose his job then, I don't agree with there now. I don't agree with that, but I respect your consistency. Me, I didn't believe Drew Brees deserved to lose his position. I don't believe DeSean deserves to lose his position. What it is like you guys have been saying, it's ignorance. And the metaphor I use, like I was talking to my girlfriend about this, the metaphor I use is it's like horses with blinders on, right? You're just not aware of what's outside of what you're already seeing. And Drew Brees being held accountable by his teammates, by various people around the league, was just them peeling back those blinders a little bit. And he was allowing them to do that. And that's the thing about this country that makes it so wonderful is that we have the ability to apologize, repent things, and pay your debts, and you're forgiven. That's the whole point.
And educate yourself.
And if we can't do that, then what are we? You know? So, mm-hmm. So I don't agree with the whole cancel culture and condemning someone for life. There are people out there murdering people, okay? There's worse things going on to be upset about. You know, I understand that it's a deeper meaning. But at face value for me, if you can get past that and give someone another chance, I think that speaks volumes as to the growth of our country. If we can do that, then we can do many other things.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for listening. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you, Stephen. Great call. Let's go to, I don't really need to comment on it. Great call. Abraham, joins us from Matty Young on the Fanatic. Hey, Abraham.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing good.
So I'm an African-American male, mid-50s, so I just want to give my perspective. So I've, you know, as somebody who's somewhat a student of history, I've known about Farrakhan from pretty much my entire life. So I've never been a fan of his, not only for his anti-Semitism, but, like, there are all a whole host of other reasons. You know, I think he's a very right-wing ideology, if you look at it. His role on gay issues, his role on women in the household, women working. So there are a lot of different reasons to kind of dislike his ideology. However, on the other side, I think one of the reasons why you see a lot of these guys defending Farrakhan is because he's been on the front line fighting for black people for almost 50 years now. Like,
yeah.
Almost like literally half a century he's been
fighting for black people. He's dedicated his life to it. Yeah.
He's dedicated his life to it.
Yeah.
And that has a lot of meaning to people, even if I don't like his ideology, but I have to respect the fact that he's been standing up for people like me for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the analogy I like to give is if you're being bullied at school, like if you're in school and somebody was bullying you and then somebody came up and stood up for you and protected you from those bullies, you would feel a certain way about that person, even if that person had some flaws. And I think it's exactly the same kind of thing here. It's like, this is somebody who stood up for us for a long, long period of time. yes, he's got flaws, like serious flaws, but, and I think, but the fact that he's been standing up for us is the reason why we feel, you know, people feel some sense of loyalty to him, So, and I think that's a very powerful thing.
But to me, like with today and professional athletes, when they're going to speak out on about it, I don't want them to come off ignorant and
being, And,
you know,
and
like,
I agree that
one of his big tenets is based on anti-Semitism. One of the things that he preaches repeatedly. Right. So if you're going to call the man honorable, I get like he's been fighting for African Americans for a long, long time. And that,
right.
And I understand why that's appealing, but you have to also understand the dynamics of what he's preaching.
And I think one of the things that we all have to do, especially today, is inform ourselves. It's like a lot of times, the only source of information people have nowadays is Facebook or like social media, and that's killing us because it's filled with misinformation.
Yep.
So I think that we have a duty as citizens of the United States to really truly educate ourselves on the history of our country, on the people that we call our leaders. We have to understand where they're actually coming from so we can make sound decisions and not sound like we're ignorant.
Very well said. Thanks, Abraham. And here's the thing. And if you're a professional athlete and you have a huge audience, forum, and the ability for your words to really affect change, then you should absolutely be educated on the person you're sanctioning. And I don't know if Malik Jackson was. DeShaun claimed he wasn't. In regards to Hitler, I don't know how that's possible. Like, I mean, I don't know how you can kind of go, well, I wasn't sure what Hitler stood up for, and think that when I post a screenshot and anything that's attributed to Adolf Hitler is okay. Like the fact I said this yesterday, the fact that alarm bells don't go off when you post something about Hitler is even more disturbing to me. You know what I mean? Like it's Hitler. It doesn't matter what the quote says after. It could, and I said this yesterday as well, it could be, hey, the weather on Thursday was beautiful, Hitler said. You don't post it. But I don't know if Malik Jackson is calling Louis Farrakhan honorable because, as Abraham just said, he's fought for African Americans and dedicated his life to it, or because he believes in the ideology that he preaches. And if you don't know the ideology, before you call him honorable and post that about him, just do a little research so that you know that you're putting your name, when you put your name on it and you call him honorable, you're sanctioning what he preaches. That's the way it works. So if you don't know what he's preached and what he's all about, then before you do that, do a little research. Find out so you don't sanction things that you truly don't believe in your heart. 610-632-0975. Look, I understand this is not a comfortable conversation. And it's not one that we all were dying to have. But it's the situation we're in. It's going to have an effect on sports. What is the effect it's going to have on your consumption of sports? How is this coming off a pandemic, a global pandemic, we're all said and done, we're going to have about 150 to 160 days of no major sports in North America. And this isn't just going to magically go away when they say play ball in a couple of weeks in Major League Baseball, or when that first kickoff happens in the NFL, or when they drop the puck in the NHL, or they tip it off in the NBA. It's not going to go away. Like, that's not going to be some kind of magic elixir to make these conversations disappear. And it shouldn't. They're going to be part of the mix. What's that effect going to be for you? What is that going to do to your level of fandom? 610-632-0975. That's the number. We'll get to everybody on the phone. Stay tuned. We're back right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.